Well, good morning, Bible Way Church, and thank you for joining us for this morning's broadcast. The Bible says this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. And I appreciate you watching this morning. Know it'll be a blessing for you. We've had a chance this morning to hear some of the singing, and the singing this morning from the folks is just absolutely beautiful. And we know the pastor's got a tremendous message on his heart, so thank you for being here. We'll go through our announcements this morning. The first one is I've selected a verse from the 121st Psalms. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from hence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And what a great promise that is, that God looks after his people. And he always has his eye upon us and our best interest in his heart. So what a Savior that we have this morning. In the way of our announcements, I do want to call, continued attention to the coronavirus, the keeping the 6 foot of distance. I had a chance to get out yesterday to one of the grocery stores, and I saw people being very careful about that, and we just need to practice that. Unfortunately, the number of fatalities from this terrible disease, it just continues to rise, and we don't want it. We want it to die from natural causes, the illness, so we can get our lives back to normal. So we'll just keep practicing that. And in that context of social distancing, I know that the pastor and the deacons, they are working on a program that will be in line with what the state of Tennessee does and the guidance there to have us all back in church. And I'm sharing this photograph. This is what it looks like when we do the broadcast. A few people here and there, not many, but it will be great to see these pews just filled with people again. What a blessing that will be. More details to come on the restart plans as the pastor will be bringing that. All right, Brother Richard. Okay, Children's Church, got a special treat for you. If you're seeing this at 11 a.m., then at noon, you're going to want to see Brother Aaron. He'll be bringing a special service for the children's ministry, the Children's Church. So gather the kiddos around, and I know that'll be a blessing for them. Appreciate Brother Aaron. Now, call if you need help, groceries, home, automobile, those type things. If you're just lonely, I don't know how many calls are coming in, but I hope that some of the folks in the church who would need help, you know, are reaching out, because there are those who want to help take care of them. And then we started our shelter in place, our selfie in place. Did get a couple of photos this week for that. There's Jackson and Amy with Miss Jerry, and they're having a snow cone. Appreciate that. We got a few others. This is two guys working on turkeys. On the left, of course, is Brother Jim. That's quite a big bird he's got there. And the guy under the car is me. I've got the bigger turkey, I think at least the heavier one in that case, putting a hydraulic clutch back in it. And then we've got Claire and Landon and Sawyer and Miss Olivia out enjoying one of these spring days that we've had recently. What a blessing it is to see the children. Look for them here. Brother Preston, he and Miss Miriam, they sent pictures of the kids. What a blessing that is. And I want to call attention to Brother Coulter. I had a chance to visit the place of prayer on the mountaintop that he often goes to. What a blessing that was. And I do want us to remember Brother Coulter. He's at a very, very important time in the calling of God upon his life and his ministry. And I'm asking you this morning, if you're hearing these words, please pray for Brother Coulter as he goes through the things that the transitions, the choices he's making in his life. Okay, and then we've got from the haircut area, Brother Ralph made it back this week, and Brother Charlie. And here's a young man that he's figured out how to take the best of, get the best look from shelter in place, and we appreciate folks sharing those with us. I do want to then get out of the way of the singing and the pastor. It's a blessing to be here with us this morning. And ladies and Brother Justin, if you all come and sing for us.
Everlasting arms, what to the cross, and I bear
For that good singing, leaning on the everlasting arms. If that's where you're leaning, it can be well with your soul. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I was sitting there thinking about, we have a tremendous amount of talent in our church, and I just thank the Lord that there's still some young people that love Jesus and want to serve the Lord, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to my heart. I recall to mind when I was in high school, there were six teenagers in high school that would gather around the flagpole every morning and pray. They would hold hands and pray. At that time, I would have been embarrassed to have been included in that circle. But I may be standing here today because somebody in that circle prayed for me. Thank the Lord this morning, amen, for His blessings. We're going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles. I'm going to read my text, and my son-in-law is going to come and pray for us this morning, and then I'm going to bring the message that God's put on our heart. The Bible said in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, this is the chapter we were in last week, said, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." If correctly read, that's chapter 7, verse 1 and verse number 2. I'm going to ask my son-in-law to pray for us, pray for the service. I appreciate the Lord saving him a while back. Appreciate getting to watch him grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Bob, come and lead us in prayer, would you please?
Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, God. I thank you for the opportunity to still let your word go out, even in these times. Lord, I pray that you bless those that are at home trying to stay away and keep people safe, God. Let this time where we're isolated from each other be a time that we can grow closer to you, Lord, and that we'll be filled with the spirit of hope, not a spirit of fear. God, help us today. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bob, thank you so much.
I want to be looking at a thought today. I maybe don't know exactly how to title it. Perhaps we could just say the fire came down. And I know that in a literal sense today, we're not going to see fire come down from heaven. And in a literal sense, I don't think we're going to see the glory fill the Lord's house with that thick smoke and fog like that it did in the Old Testament, where the priests could not even minister. But I do believe in a spiritual sense we can see God's glory fill His house once again. And I want to ask this morning the question in the onset of the message. I have a lot of ground to cover today. But what was it that caused the fire to fall in the Bible? What was it that happened that would cause God to respond by allowing the fire to fall? And we know that fire and brimstone rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was God's disapproval of what was going on in that city, in those cities, as they had turned to sodomy and an unnatural lifestyle. But we know that there are times in the Bible when God's fire would fall and consume the sacrifice. And I don't know why, but I just never had thought about the reason that it did. And I believe God has spoke to my heart. And I believe you'll understand when we get finished today. But I believe the reason the fire came down here is because God was pleased. God was pleased with what had went on in Solomon's prayer. In just a little while, we're going to go back and examine chapter 6 and some of the things that was pleasing to God. I want you to think about this for a moment. The Word of God said, Jesus said, I do always those things which please the Father. You and I cannot say that. The Bible said if a man says he's without sin, he's lying. Amen. And the Word of God, even in Solomon's prayer, says there's none that sinneth not. But Jesus could say that. But at the same time, we shouldn't use that as an excuse not to strive to please the Lord. I believe the more that we please Him in our life, the more likely we are to see His glory in our homes, in the house of God, and then God help us in our country once again. Just a couple of examples in the Word of God. Over in the book of Leviticus, the Bible talked about the fire falling. The Bible said that Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and he came down from the offering of the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar, the burnt offering, and the fat. Which when all the people saw it, they shouted and they fell on their faces. One of the things you're going to find in common here, that when God comes down among His people, there's always a tremendous spirit of worship. It's not mankind wanting to stand up in his pride and swell up in his pride, but wanting to humble himself before his Creator and before his God. Well, what was God pleased with? In Leviticus 7, the Bible said, this is the law of the burnt offering, the meat offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the consecration of the sacrifice, the peace offering. In verse number 36 of chapter 8, so Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. So it was obedience. They just did what God told Moses to tell them to do. They did it, and God was pleased, and the fire came down. Over the book of 1 Kings, you remember the story about the contest that went on between the prophets of Baal and Elijah, the man of God. What a man of God Elijah was. I can't wait to meet him, Brother Steve. He has to be something else, amen, just to sit down and talk to. Elijah told him, said, how long halts you between two opinions? If God's God, serve Him. If Baal's God, serve Him. So they had the altars. They built the altar there. And he said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to call on our God, the one that answers by fire. That's the one we're going to serve. So what happened? The prophets of Baal, and I'm paraphrasing, they jumped on the altar, leaped on the altar, they cut themselves, they cried out the bigger part of the day, and nothing happened. And what did Elijah do? Elijah said, well, I want you to get some barrels. First he repaired the altar. We went over that a while back. And then they put the sacrifice on the altar. He said, I want you to get a barrel, three barrels, fill them with water, dump it all over, do it again, do it again. They did it three times, so the trench was full of water all the way around the altar. And Elijah prayed 63 words, and the fire of God fell from heaven. God was pleased. He wasn't pleased with Baal and the prophets of Baal, but he was pleased with his man, and he was pleased with the altar, and he was pleased with Elijah, and the fire of God fell once again. And so we have another instance in the Word of God, and it kind of fits a whole lot with what's going on today. You remember last week I said I wouldn't be dogmatic, but that it was entirely possible that God could send a pestilence. Maybe he allows it, maybe he sends it. We've seen it in the Word of God where he judged his people. So the Word of God said in 1 Chronicles chapter number 21, so the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel. Why did he do that? Because, listen to me carefully, this fits so well with what's going on in our time. Because David numbered the people. God did not want David to number the people because God did not want Israel's confidence to be in their strength, to be in their swords, to be in their military might. God wanted Israel's confidence to be in him. And so David numbered the people. And God gave David three things to choose from. And David said, I'm not going to choose. I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to fall on the mercy of the Lord. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel. And there fell of Israel 70,000 men. This is always something I like to point out when I come across this. David sinned with Bathsheba. The average Baptist today would say, oh, what a terrible thing to commit adultery. And yes, it is a terrible thing. But David, the Bible said, the sword never left his house. There were several, starting with the little baby, that died as a result of David's sin. That was the sin of adultery. The sin of murder, the sin of deceit is what went on there. But here you have the sin of rebellion. And 70,000 men die as a result of the sin of rebellion. But in our generation, and I believe especially, that's what I are a Baptist. So among Baptists, I believe that we would say adultery, drunkenness, homosexuality, rebellion. Well, that's just part of life. No, 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 we better be careful. The Bible said rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And here, 70,000 men die. I'm going somewhere, stay with me. I'm looking again. The Bible said God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy him. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld and repented him of the evil, said to the angel that destroyed, it's enough! Stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a sword drawn in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. They knew. Listen, I don't know if America knows it yet, but we need God. Amen. We need God. Listen, our hope is not to be found anywhere except in God, our Lord, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about this. Think about this. Before this happened, there was much emphasis being put, we've got the greatest military in the world. Much emphasis being put, we've got the greatest economy in the world. And both those things are true. And there's nothing wrong with having the greatest military. I believe in military strength. I believe in peace through strength. But beloved, listen, God's people need not put our confidence in the military or in the economy. Our confidence is to be in God. And David learned a lesson. David said to God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered, even as I have sinned and done this evil? But as for these sheep, what have they done? God's teaching us another lesson. And that is this. Your sin does not just affect yourself. It will affect others as well. David said, I did it. Lord, take it out on me. Don't take it out on them. But 70,000 men died. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. And David went up saying at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. As David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out to the threshing floor, and he bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Why? Because David was the king. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it for me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed. David knew there was only one solution to this problem. Only one thing was going to cause this pestilence to stop. He was going to have to get a hold of the one that started it. The Bible said the Lord sent a pestilence. Is that right? Is that right? Is that not right? Ornan said to David, take it. He said, verse number 22, he said, grant me the place of the threshing floor, that I may build an altar there unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I have given thee the oxen also for the burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I gave it all. I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for a full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan the place for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. Watch this now, and then I'm going to get back to the text. I'm telling you that when the fire comes down, God is saying, I'm pleased. God is putting his stamp of approval on what's going on. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into his sheath thereof. Just trying to lay a little groundwork that in the Bible, these are not the only instances, but just giving you a few this morning, that when the fire came down and the glory filled the house, there was a statement being made behind that that said, of God, I am pleased with what I see. I am pleased with what I hear. I believe that it is possible for God's people to return to that place of blessing, and that God would be pleased to smile, that God would be pleased that his glory might fill his house once again. I want to go back into chapter number 6 now and give you, I think it's four things, I didn't number them, but I think it's four things the Lord spoke to my heart about that pleased the Lord in Solomon's prayer. You remember in your hearing a moment ago, I read where the Bible said, then Solomon made an end of praying. When Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. I don't know about you. I'd love to see God's people shouting again. I'd love to see sinners walking the aisles again. I'd love to see Christians getting right with each other again. People that haven't spoke to one another for months. I'd love to see them fellowshipping again around the Word of God and around the things of God. You say, preacher, you'll never make it happen. That's right. But if my Lord would let the fire fall, I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Listen, there are people sitting in this building today that I had the blessed privilege to see them get saved by the grace of God. And it wasn't the pastor. It wasn't the message. Beloved, it was the God of heaven that came down and visited with them and let them know their need. He can turn things around in just a moment of time, and thank God that he will. Beloved, what is it that pleased the Lord that he would allow the fire to fall the way that he did? Let's get right into it. You say, preacher, what have you been doing? That's the introduction. Now we're going to do the message. Is that all right? My wife said one time, many of you that are listening have never heard this, so I'll repeat it. She said, honey, you never preach a long message. She said, but the introductions and the closings are killing us. Amen. Amen. So in between the introduction and the closing, here comes the message. Let's look at what it was that pleased the Lord in this prayer of Solomon. First of all, the Word of God said in chapter number 6, verse number 1, then said Solomon, look at these words, the Lord has said. The first thing I want to say to you, it pleases the Lord when we take him at his word. Solomon is praying before God, and Solomon is believing God. The Bible tells us, beloved, you can read the book of James, that if you're praying and it's not mixed with faith, it's not helping anything. Amen. But Solomon is taking God at his word. So it pleases God when we take him at his word. We see his word spoken in verse number 1. Look in verse number 4. The Bible said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake. We see God's word spoken in the chapter, in the prayer. We see God's word fulfilled in the prayer. And by the way, beloved, everything in this book that has not yet been fulfilled will be. Just as sure as the things that have been fulfilled have been fulfilled, those that have not yet been fulfilled will be fulfilled. I was watching the news yesterday, and I saw hail the size of golf balls in Texas. I'm telling you, beloved, I would have hated to have been caught out in that storm. They literally had a golf ball laying there with some of the hail, and it sounded terrible when that started falling from the heavens. Well, that's golf ball size hail. You tell me what it's going to sound like when it's 100-pound hailstones falling from heaven. I sat there in my living room and thought, the roof wouldn't keep it back, Bob. It's coming right through the roof. And then I thought, if I was in the basement, even the floor, the substructure, maybe if the first one didn't make it all the way to the basement, the next one's coming right down. In other words, there would be nowhere, Brother Steve, on my property, in my home, nowhere that I could hide if hailstones that big were falling. I'm taking God at his word. It's coming. Judgment is coming upon the world. You can mark it down. Beloved, listen, the Bible said they're going to run to the rocks. They're going to run. We're lifting up our eyes, Brother Steve, to the hills from whence cometh our help. They're going to be looking to the hills to escape the judgment of God. The Word of God said it's taking him at his word. Watch this now. In verse number 10, the Bible said, the Lord therefore hath performed his word. We see the Lord, the word spoken. We see the word fulfilled. We see the word performed. Over there in the book of, in chapter number 6 and verse number 11. And in it have I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord. There you have the word of God recorded. How many's glad we have a record of God's word? God put it down there for us because he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then you come down in verse number 17. Now then, O Lord, God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. So you see the word of God spoken, the word of God fulfilled, the word of God performed, the word of God recorded, the word of God verified. What a blessing that there are people in this world today that are still willing to take God at his word. That goes all the way back to where we started last week. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. Beloved, listen. When the God is pleased and the fire comes down, it's because somebody took God at his word and said, I believe you, Lord. I believe you. Remember this. Without faith, It's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So Solomon took God at His word. When we take Him at His word, it pleases Him. The second thing in the message that I'll give you, when He's the focus of our worship, it pleases Him. Solomon was not down on his knees praying, thinking about any other God other than the God of heaven. There are a lot of people in America very upset right now because their God's baseball. There's some that aren't too upset yet, but it's coming because they're God's football. Amen. And there's people upset in America. Listen, I'm not against baseball. I love it. We got a young man in our church that plays baseball, and I love to go watch him play baseball. I'm not against baseball. But I'm telling you this, if baseball's bigger than God, it's wrong. We'll make a God out of it. Here the Bible said, you say, preacher, where'd you find that in the worship? He said here in verse 2, I build a house, a habitation for thee, a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth out thy people, my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But God chose Jerusalem, and God chose David, and the people are worshiping God because of the choices that God made. What a blessing that is. You say, preacher, you really believe we should worship? Well, here, one of the things that was brought out is that they were brought out of Egypt. You know, if you would just remember when you were a slave to sin, when you had no victory in your life, when you had no peace, when you didn't know what it was to lean on the everlasting arms, when you didn't know how great thou art. If you go back to that time in your life and think about where you are now, then certainly there ought to be a spirit of worship. And when God's people are worshiping, God is pleased. When we focus on Him in our worship, He is pleased. When we take Him at His word, He is pleased. Let me give you this. I believe it's important. When He's the reason for our walk, He is pleased. I want you to look at verse number 14. The Bible said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven. That's worship. Nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant, and showest mercy unto Thy servants. Watch this now. That walk before Thee with all their hearts. Well, let me just say this. Listen to me carefully. There's a little phrase in there that makes all the difference in the world. I believe a man ought to walk with God, and I believe that ought to be pleasing to his wife. But I don't believe that ought to be the reason that he walks with God. I believe our young people that are here, I believe they ought to walk with God, and God knows it'll be so pleasing to their pastor. But I don't believe that should be the reason that they walk with God. The Word of God said here, they walk before Thee with all their hearts. I have little grandchildren that are growing up. And thank God they're growing up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it is our prayer that they will walk with God. But not just to please mommy. Not just to please daddy. But because they'll realize that they have a Father in heaven that's pleased. You say, preacher, you're talking about the fire. You're talking about the glory. If we'll take God at His word, if He's the focus of our worship, when He's the reason we do what we do, it'd make all the difference in the world and the reason we walk the way we walk. Verse 16, now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with Thy servant David my father that which Thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail Thee a man in Thy sight, in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that Thy children take heed to their way, to walk in my law as Thou hast walked, here's the words again, before me. Beloved, when we understand and take God at His word, when He is the focus of our worship, when He is the reason for our walk, the reason we get out of bed, the reason we read our Bible, the reason we pray, the reason we go to the house of God, the reason we take a gospel tract out of our pocket and give it to someone else, when He's the reason, He's pleased, because He's the reason. You know, I believe it's so. These young people that have sung so beautifully, did you know you could sing beautifully for the wrong reason? But you can also sing for the right reason. And I believe they are. You say, preacher, why do you say you believe they are? Because I believe there's someone called the Holy Ghost that bears witness. I know these people. They're not full of pride and arrogancy. They're not singing to be heard. They're singing because they love Jesus. And they worship Him because of what He's done. Justin, you could be playing that guitar in any honky-tonk in East Tennessee. If I ever catch you playing in any of them, you're going to learn another side of your pastor. But that's not His desire to play in a honky-tonk. It's His desire to use His talent for God. Amen. I believe it's important, beloved, that we walk, that He's the reason for our walk. Let me give you this. Some of you are counting the minutes. That's okay. This is the big thing. Those three things were little things. They're not little things, but as far as time goes, they were little things. Let me give you this. This is the way God's going to cap it off. This is that second part that Miss C said's killing us. This is the closing. Amen. Let me give you this last thing that God spoke to my heart about. God is pleased. How many believes that when we take Him at His word? When He's the focus, amen, of our worship. How many believes when He's the reason for our walk? He's pleased. Brother Steve, we have the ministry with the Salvation Army. Thank God for it. But He ought to always be the reason. We can't even let those people be the reason, Bob, for what we do. Jesus said it, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. He ought to be the reason we do everything that we do. Walk the way we walk. Watch this now, and I'm finished. When we consider our ways, the fire came down. The fire of God came down, and the glory filled the house. Because there's some things in Solomon's prayer that's pleasing to the Lord. Let me show you what I mean. Look in verse number 34, down through verse number 40. The Bible said here, if thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee towards this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Look at verse number 36. If they sin against thee, I made me a little note right there, Psalm 51. You remember when David prayed to God, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. When the prodigal son was rehearsing what he was going to tell his father, he said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell my father, I'm not worthy to be your son. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against thee. For there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land, whether they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives, and pray towards their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place,
their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Look at verse number 30. Then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all, look at that little phrase, his ways. Solomon, as he's approaching God, is concerned that a man's ways don't always please the Lord. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And you know what he's begging God for? He's begging God to remember, I built this house. Remember that if it's a stranger that needs to be forgiven, if it's one of the people of Israel, one of the apple of your eye that needs to be forgiven, if they look towards this place and they pray towards this place and they ask you to forgive them, then he said, they're willing to consider their ways. I'm telling you, God is pleased. The Bible said it in the New Testament like this, examine yourself. God is pleased when the Bible said, judge yourself that you be not judged. Some people say, well, you're not supposed to judge. I'll tell you this, you're supposed to judge yourself. All of us are supposed to judge ourselves. The Bible said, render every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. Watch this now, that they may fear thee, to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. I've given you four things. I believe it pleases God when we take him at his word. I believe it pleases God when he's the focus of our worship. I believe it pleases God, beloved, when he's the reason that we walk the way that we walk. And I believe it pleases God when we consider our ways. I'd like to read a little passage from the book of Haggai. When I ran across this and the Lord was dealing with my heart, I had to look it up. I knew it was in one of the minor prophets. So I looked it up. What I'd like for you to do is to think about how that it fits. In the book of Haggai, chapter number 1, the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai. There you go again. Here comes the word of God. The prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. We're over here in Chronicles. Solomon has just finished it. He has just dedicated, and the glory has filled the house. Now it's been destroyed. What do we do now? Haggai said, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell. No, I'm sorry. He said, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He hath earned wages. He that earneth wages and put them into a bag with holes. I mean, it'd be like walking around Kingsport with all your money in a bag and there's a hole in the bottom of it. I believe somebody patched that hole. Stop walking until they did get it patched, amen, so they wouldn't have to pick it up all over Kingsport, just in one place. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, this is the second time in three verses, consider your ways. Solomon knew the heart of man. He was the wisest man, I believe, outside of Jesus that ever walked. And he knew that God was looking at the heart of man, and that the heart of man would get sideways with God, and that that man would have to get right with God. He said, go up to the mountains, bring wood, build the house. I'll take pleasure in it. I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. He said, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. I've said for years, one of our men, Brother Gary's back there, he knows in the last 7 years, I'm talking about the physical work that's went on around this place. I believe it would be a shame for a group of people to take care of their own house and not take care of the house of God. I believe it would be a shame to maintain, Brother Steve, our own vehicles and not maintain the vehicles that belong to God, that bring the children back and forth to church. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. This all goes back, remember? If I shut up the heavens, remember what God told Solomon? If my people, if I send a pestilence, if my people, which are called by my name, I call for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that ground that bringeth forth, upon men, upon cattle, and upon all the labor of thy hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the Lord, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, and the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king, chapter 2, in the 7th month, in 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord, the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, and the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you? Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Do you see what God's saying? I'm pleased when somebody takes me at my word. I'm pleased when I'm the reason that they walk, when I'm the focus of their worship, and I'm pleased when they just stop long enough to consider their ways. Thank God around Bible Way, not only do we have the young people, thank God we've got some old people that have seen the glory fall, and we need to remember what God has done and beg God to do it again. That's what happened here. He said, they saw this house in her first glory. How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison? Let me read it. Of it as nothing. I'm telling you, beloved. You might say, preacher, our pews are in good shape. Our walls are in good shape. Our roofs are in good shape. Our doors are in good shape. Our instruments are in good shape. I tell you this, God's not interested in any of that. He wants to know if our hearts are in good shape. How long has it been since you found yourself before the God of heaven, begging him to save somebody, begging him to fill his house once again with his glory? I'm going to tell you something, beloved. I believe with all of my heart, When Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt. Listen, you say, preacher, where's our sacrifice at Calvary? Thank God we don't have to build an altar that way and lay a bullock upon it or a lamb upon it. But thank God the blood was shed at Calvary. God gave us access into the holiest of all. And God wants you and I to come before Him, believing Him, taking Him at His word. Make sure He's the focus. What are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the virus? Are we focusing on the economy? Are we just focusing on our family? Where does God fit in all of this? I know that my son-in-law and I both, we like to shoot. And it's not maybe as necessary for him because his eyes are young. But for me, it's extremely necessary to have what they call an adjustable objective on a scope. Because what it does, Brother Steve, is allows you to turn a little knob and bring the object that you're looking at into focus to clear it up. And Bob uses those too, but I'm just saying he could get by with it a lot better than I could because his eyes are young. I'm telling you, beloved, what God's trying to do in our church is turn the knob a little bit. He's saying the Bible way, Brother Gary, get your eyes off the pastor. Get your eyes off of one another. Get your eyes off of this stinking virus. And get your eyes back on me. I want you to be the focus. God wants us to see Him. You remember when Philip, I don't remember the exact, what would you call that, context. But I know there was a time there in the Bible when Philip said these words, or maybe it was said to Philip, I don't remember for sure, but these words are in the Bible. Sir, we would see Jesus. I believe that all over the land, we need to start getting together again. But He needs to be the focus. Sir, ma'am, we would see Jesus. Let's pray together. Let's pray that God will fill His house with His glory. That fire, spiritually speaking, that causes men to want to get right with God, get right with each other, that causes men to want to get saved. Let's pray that that fire will be evident in our midst. Perhaps when this is over, wouldn't it be a blessing to have someone come through the doors that's been listening, that's maybe never even been to Bible Way? I'd love to meet them. I believe that the enemy means all this for evil. But I still believe Romans 8:28. And there's a lot of things I don't know, Brother Steve. Many things I don't know. There's one thing I know. I love Him. And the Word of God said, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I love Him. Let's pray. Father, I want to bow my head and just tell You one more time. I love You, Lord. Thank You for my people. I cannot wait, Lord, to see them. Hopefully the day will come, Lord, once again, when we can shake one another's hand. Lord, that may not mean a lot to some, but it's always meant so much to me. God, I pray that you'd bless our people today. That God, across our congregation, when folks see this message and hear this message, they'd realize, our Father, that, Lord, you're calling on us to pray, to believe you, to walk with you, to focus once again on our Savior. Lord, I know that there's one thing that really, really clouds our vision, and that's sin. Help us today, Lord, that we might consider our ways, that we might judge ourselves, that we might, Lord, come to a place where we could be thoroughly right with God and be used of God even in these days. Lord, we love you. Speak to the heart of that one that does not know you, Lord. Draw them to yourself. I pray, God, that you have your way. Speak to the hearts of your children. Help them, O God, today. God, I ask you in Jesus' name, fill the house with your presence, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.